Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
You guys want to start the show?
Let's start the show.
Everybody, welcome to Saturday Morning Cereal. It's, well, you know me. It's me, Dan Grimshay. Hi.
Uh-huh.
How you doing? Also, we've got Marquis joining us. Marquis, say hello. Sound off.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, that'll work.
You know, this is the first time I've been in studio. I've been all over the world.
You have.
Including San Diego Comic-Con.
Looking for your baby. I know. I know.
Yeah, but I'm back in the studio, and it's very dusty. And we haven't been recording much.
No, that's true. And I would like to say that that's a recent development, but it's kind of the hallmark of the show.
Yeah. It's like a cat just sleeps on my microphone. That's how much pollen I'm dealing with in here.
And that's by design. Also, middle of a heat wave in San Diego. Temperatures through the roof here in the studio. Why? Because we likes it hot.
And because turning on the AC would just kill the audio quality. So
that's another option. We're not very smart. We set the studio up. We ran the air conditioning through the soundboard.
Yeah, it's not good.
We can't even figure out how we pulled that off. There's basically no chance of that.
Actually, how Spielberg came up with the sound effect for the rock in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he just ran an AC unit through a microphone. That's true.
You can look that up. No, I happen to know that's not true because you nerds listening at home, you can take me to task on this.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is true.
Oh, we're about to get some schooling?
Some decade or two ago or more, I read that there was some article a long time ago about how they got all those iconic sounds for Indiana Jones. And the boulder rolling down the hill was achieved by a 1977 Honda Civic station wagon with the emergency brake on and rolling down like this mountain of gravel.
With the emergency brake on?
So the wheels wouldn't roll,
yeah.
So it would literally have to roll, and it was like loose gravel or something, and that was the sound of the boulder rolling down the hill, and I remember that because my very first car was a 1977 Honda Civic station wagon, and it had a very good emergency brake.
Would you also slide down a gravelly hill, though?
It never happened to me. It was just too sandy in the desert.
Ah, okay.
Hard to find good gravel.
Ah.
Boy, I banged up the bottom
in
of that poor station wagon.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, see, now we're getting off track.
Oh, God. Which
we've never even mentioned what the track
was. I mean, this is in an alternate universe. That is an appropriate conversation.
That's not the one we all live in, so we apologize to you. But the reason Marquis phrases it like that is because we're back to talk about Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty, finally.
The season premiere was a week ago.
Yeah.
Although that was actually the second episode in the season. Rick and Morty is such a weird show.
Yeah.
And it's on Adult Swim. Old friends of ours here at the show. So everything about it is weird and hard to describe. We sat down and said, you know what? Screw it. After dicking off about a 77 Honda Civic station wagon for 20 minutes, our goal is to actually try to describe this show to you.
Yeah, in the best way we can, which in the spirit of the show is to just confuse you more.
Exactly.
Yeah, because this is – I have been – a little bit of backstory here. We have been, since the very beginning, since the inception of this show, we have been covering Adult Swim.
Yeah.
They were really our first big guests, you know, going back to the Eagleheart days.
Yep.
Remember that? We've covered basically everything. Mr. Pickles.
Yeah, every
Squidbillies.
Every year when they'd have their new batch of shows come out.
Yeah.
And this is, I am the resident Adult Swim watcher.
Correct.
You yourself, as we've covered on the show numerous times.
Yeah.
Because every year I try to get you into it, and you will watch a show or two, say, hey, this is great. But
I never stick.
But you know, it never sticks. You never say anything bad, but I've consistently failed to really engage you on the whacked out concept of the Adult Swim kind of mentality.
But something is happening with this show particularly. Now, one of the reasons why I don't particularly stick with the Adult Swim is because I don't have cable. So there's that issue. So I have to actively go and find clips on YouTube and things like that. Or it's when these nice producers send me some screeners and I actually get to watch it. But I do travel for my day job. And when I'm in a hotel and, you know, I get through with that day's work and I go back to my hotel, I have cable for
that day's work. Takes the money off the dresser and leaves.
It does. That day's work is out. I wipe my tears and blood and I leave. And so I get to watch cable again, and Adult Swim is usually on when by the time I'm back in my room. And every time I get the opportunity, if Rick and Morty is on, I am so excited. And then recently, now it's on Hulu.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that it was on Hulu until recently. Has it always been on Hulu, or is it a new thing on Hulu?
It hasn't always been there, but it's been there long enough.
Well, but it's there, and so I've been – I mean –
That's where I, up until a few weeks ago, would just sparsely kind of catch an episode every now and then when it showed up on my, hey, you should check this out.
It's fantastic.
It was something I would put on in the background while I'm doing something else, like, oh – and that was a mistake.
Yeah, because you end up just stopped and parked there.
It is either you give it your attention or you don't.
Right.
Because this is a looks. It is that deceptive Adult Swim thing where it looks like, well, that's the quality of the cartoon looks like I could have drawn that.
Yeah.
If I had the right program or something on my tablet, et cetera, that seems so achievable. But the density of the stories of the entire – this is a science fiction show. Essentially, the fact that it's animated and hilarious almost takes a backseat to that.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And our friend at the Cartoon Network Adult Swim people, they have been such supporters and sponsors of this particular show. And we had the opportunity when Rick and Morty was new to talk with, I believe, Ryan Ridley. I think he was the – is he one of the creators?
There was a chance, and I thought we talked to him. Justin Roiland,
that's
co-creator with Dan Harmon, who is a big name now in our circles. If you remember him from Community,
absolutely.
Which I am a devoted fan of.
Uh-huh.
I even got that Yahoo Screen app just so I could watch the last season of that. It was Justin Roiland just before the show was going to come out.
And something happened.
And I could have sworn that I talked to him.
Well, we can't find the audio. It's kind
of
the issue.
But I can't find it.
We don't know
what
happened.
weren't able. I think we put our eggs in the Mr. Pickles basket.
We did Mr. Pickles.
When it came out.
And that was, we ended up doing a combo show of Mr. Pickles and Squidbillies.
Squidbillies.
Yeah, but we didn't. Anyway, so. We have
look them up
just
down
like
MattyPRadio.com, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast.
Exactly,
they're
out there, including episodes about Robot Chicken with Sinreich. That's a good one. We even talked to Alan Tudyk when he was on Adult Swim doing that news show.
Yeah, News Readers,
and that's one of the best interviews ever. Anyway, Adult Swim has been there, but we've always had this. As it turns out, my favorite show, we never actually got to cover. And so, like, Quantum Leap style, we're out there to write what once went wrong. And I got a chance. I got invited. I asked to be invited. I asked to come. And then
on an invitation, too.
And I had the opportunity to attend a roundtable interview with the Rick and Morty people. And so I took my little – memo recorder, my Sony digital something.
Your trusty journalist pen and paper of the digital age.
Exactly. And I joined another group of journalists, I'm air quoting, including one guy that was there was from the Huffington Post, and that guy was really fun to talk to. There was two different tracks. It was Dan Harmon, Justin Roiland, Ryan Ridley. He's a voice actor and producer. Justin Roiland is the main he's the co-creator. He voices Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And then there's Dan Harmon.
Kind of gave
obviously.
Himself the juiciest roles there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's kind of when I'm finding these things out, and then you end up watching the show. It's the same thing like when you watch a fucking Family Guy, right? Through large chunks of these episodes, it's just Seth talking to himself for like 15 minutes in three different voices. And when it's Rick and Morty, through most of the show, it's just him talking to himself.
It's something that in an animated cartoon works really well.
Yeah.
But if it was like an off-Broadway play, it's pretentious as hell. I know.
Then it's all just a fucking Edward Norton movie. Okay. And on the other table, it was the ladies' table, which was Sarah Chalk and then Spencer Grammer. So I was at two different roundtables with my cohorts in journalism, and we got to talk with these guys. And so I recorded it. We're going to play it for you here in a little bit. But, yeah, that was at
– cohorts in journalism. That's still ringing with me.
Yeah, it's a good one, right? Yeah.
Like the bad news bloggers.
Oh, I like that better. That's the new name of us. Yeah, the bad news bloggers. But this was – okay, so this was a typical – and I just want to paint a little picture for you guys because – you guys didn't get to go. I was there.
We as journalists try to take it a step further and say we
like what's it like
that you were all wearing our press pass at Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
We want to submerge you in the experience VR style,
right?
Over the radio,
yeah. So AR style, audio reality.
We're gonna and during the break we're gonna go over more of the acronyms with Marquee.
There you go. I'm making them up
going
as I
forward.
Go. All right. So yeah. You know, this is on a Friday. You know, Friday is basically hangover day for me. I mean, I'm tired, and I had a hell of a night the night before, losing car keys, losing bag, losing phone. I had to get a new phone that morning. Like, there's a whole long story here that one day. Hopefully nobody ever hears.
The dark side
or
of Comic-Con.
It was a great time. Comic-Con delivered again and again and again. But Friday is always kind of a take it back a day, you know, take it back a step because you're usually kind of wounded there. My only goal that whole day was to make this round table. And, you kind of get checked in and you go in there and there's the little backdrop and everybody's taking pictures of the stars that are coming in for this thing.
Right.
And, you know, it's
a little backdrop as being like the red carpet thing.
Yeah.
Where everybody gets their pictures with all the logos.
All the Comic-Con logos. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got some pictures, but I'm not really known for my photography. So you guys will see some of the pictures that I took, obviously. Check out MattyBRadio.com.
MattyBRadio.com. Jot it down. You're going to want it.
You're always curious in how these people on TV are going to look in real life. So, you know, Sarah Chalk was always – that's the one that I watched her a lot, you know, for years on Scrubs, and she was on the Roseanne show for a little while.
Off and on.
Off and on, yeah, oddly. But – everybody at these round tables, and you guys are going to hear them here in a second, everybody was awesome. Everybody, the best thing you can do when you're at these round tables, a little bit of insight is, all you got to do is just chuck up a softball and you let them go.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want to dominate the conversation. Nobody's there to hear you, you know, and if somebody else has a good question, let them answer that question. Don't, you know, it's not a contest.
It's this weird middle ground. It's like the Charlie Rose show. If anyone's ever seen that on PBS, it's a dark room, a round table.
Yep.
But Charlie Rose, very smartly, doesn't invite any other.
And he turns all the other lights off.
People to come in there, and it's quiet elsewhere. This is different. This is a big, like, not a ballroom, but a large,
it's basically
a crowded room.
It
should be larger.
It's a quarter of a ballroom, literally.
Yeah.
They, you know, they just put the frickin' big-ass sound wall there.
Yeah.
So you're in this little corner of
but
the ballroom.
But you are literally feet away from another round table.
Correct.
Where other people are shouting other questions at other stars, writers, creators,
yep.
et cetera. So what you are just trying to capture is the little bubble where a bunch of other people get to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a... You know, it's a gentlemanly agreement
Absolutely.
That everyone will be civil about it.
Absolutely. And
and then mostly everybody there is just trying to get the stars to just start talking.
Exactly.
You don't
you just want
you're
to wind
not
them
trying
up.
To break a story. You're
no.
not trying to say, all right, this is it. We're going to get all the details on how Game of Thrones ends or something.
yeah.
This is just like how you encourage a conversation and then five or six or seven or eight people get to record it and use it.
Yeah, and most of them are there, like, writing this up for blogs and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare. Now,
it's a lot easier that way.
If you guys...
Say, when asked about...
Correct. I'm sure
so-and-so
a lot of these things... And I have been in other people's videos before, mm-hmm. you know, at the same roundtable where they'll, like, record it and they'll put it on YouTube or something. So... You guys can see these. They're out there. And you can kind of see what I don't remember if anybody was doing video at this one. Ugh.
You never
Actually,
know
you
these
never know.
Days.
But anyway, you guys, seriously, this was a great opportunity. I finally got to talk to these guys. There wasn't a lot of scoops, nothing like that. And if you're at a really good table, the interviewees interview each other sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of start talking.
And I think this first roundtable you did before mm-hmm. moving on to the next one with Sarah Chalk and
Spencer Grammer
yeah. Is a great example of that.
Yep.
And you get to see the, you know, kind of the dynamics between the two of them, how they probably work on the show.
Yep.
And they discuss what they love about the show.
What
so
they
basically
like about the process.
How you
yeah.
just kind of get them to start talking to you, just openly spill stuff out. It's not Frost Nixon, but it's a lot of fun. And I think we made them wait long enough. Here, let's do a little bit of Sarah Chalk, everybody.
And Spencer Grammer.
Magic Interview Machine. You know who I'm talking about, right?
It's a fun season for Beth. I mean, she gets, you know, we get to dive in a little bit in one episode and see a little bit of insight into her childhood. We see a little more about her relationship with Rick. Another cool thing about season three is there's a lot of pairings that we haven't seen before, like characters and relationships that haven't gotten to be explored yet.
Do you guys have a favorite line?
I just always say, like, keep summer safe. That's my favorite. I mean, and there was, I mean, like, I mean, I always obviously, like, love the things that I do because I'm an actress. I love the DMX thing with, like, the Mr. Needful episode in season one where, like, we go and we beat up the devil, basically, who's Alfred Molina. Like, I just, like, love that. But I also really love Chris Parnell's whole thing where he lives, like, the life he always dreamed of. I don't remember, what was the name of that episode? Where it's the Meeseeks episode. I'm not even in that episode. And he, like, is, like, an apple. He's, like, selling. It's the best.
It's
like,
best.
His performance of that episode is the fucking best.
It's
yeah.
Amazing.
I
know. His line reads are crazy. I wish he could be here.
I know.
He's, like, one of my favorite lines and line reads is when I'm yelling we're on, you know, Planet Squanch for the wedding. And I'm, you know, yelling and saying, don't fuck this up for me. It's my one chance to be in this part of my dad's life. And I'm, like, go stand over there, look at the wall, don't talk to anybody. He's, like, well, maybe I just...
But
one of my favorite lines of all time is, you know, I'm not going to get it exactly quoted perfectly, but if life is completely meaningless, so come watch TV.
True. Very good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any summers yet, but I just got here at, like, 7 a.m. this morning.
She flew
in
from work.
Another show in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I just got here. But I'm sure there'll be some summer somewhere. Because people always tag me in their, like, summer improv. You know?
No
like, on their Instagrams. And I'm like, yes. special. Amazing. Or people will meet me and they'll tell me, like, you kind of look like Summer. She's really hot. I'm like, thank you.
Thank you. That is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
So nice.
Unlike me, who I got a tweet that was like, at Sarah Chalk finally found the best medium for her look, hashtag animation. I was like, I just think
that's a compliment.
Let's go, let's like troll her. Let's go troll her later.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go to that that boat party and troll her.
Yeah. I've not seen any best yet. I did see one last year. We've seen a lot. You see a lot of bricks and a lot of Mr. Creepy Buttholes.
And me speak.
Yeah, there's a lot of me speaks
and bricks. And rick, yeah. They're probably, like, the most fun to dress up as, too.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, Rick has that, like, blue hair and a lab coat. Like, that's just... And it's simple. Yeah. It's, like, an easy cosplay.
Yeah.
You know?
Last year, I had an eight-week-old here, and I was trying to get on the train just to make the train, and I was, like, getting in the car to go to the train, and I was like... Rick and Morty onesie! And I, like, sprinted back inside, got one of my Rick and Morty t-shirts, a tiny onesie, some scissors, some needle and thread, which obviously I don't know how to use. And so then I got on the train, and I'm, like, trying to darn a tiny Rick and Morty onesie. So my eight-week-old was in, like, the tiniest Rick and Morty onesie you've ever seen.
It was great.
He was, like, this big, and the onesie was, like, this big.
Yeah. 8 weeks old. I know.
Yeah.
She's kind of my hero.
I mean, it was a pretty baller move.
Yeah, it was a baller move.
Everyone's like, you can't take an eight-week-old to Comic-Con!
Like, yeah, you can. You can if you're doing Rick and Morty.
I should have dressed her as like
a tiny,
total onesie. Totally. You put the hat on and you will like it. It's big, you know. It's like, what is happening? I mean, I think Beth would come as, I want to say bird person, but I don't know if that's allowed because that
bird person
is a show within a show, but it's still a different, it's off planet. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think I'm saying that because that's who like I would like to come
as. That's totally what Summer would come as.
You know, just like
I mean, feathers everywhere. I think that costume would be awesome.
You guys are recording. Do you guys get to pitch jokes? You guys ad lib at all, or you guys?
Sometimes. I mean, a lot of the time I like stick to it, but if it's something that I wouldn't normally say in my own personal vernacular, then I kind of change it a little bit. But most of the time, we pretty much stick to it. And there's opportunities though where you'll get to like sing a song or like do something where you can add a little bit. But
yeah.
Well, Justin's always there too, right?
Totally. He's always there, and Dan's often there, and they're throwing ideas at you, and they always are like, either you can get it as you're on the page, try something different, but the scripts are so tight that like it often is we do it exactly as written, and then we can, you know, like Spencer's thing, like there's times where like you're either you're singing a song or you're doing, you know, your character is in a different dimension or is, you know, giant Summer or giant Beth or Cronenberg Summer, Cronenberg Beth or, you know, drunk Beth or, you know, times where you get to just, what was the other one?
Over-sexual Beth.
There's one, you know, where in the episode where Jerry and Beth go off-planet for couples counseling. And
I loved that episode.
See Beth as Jerry sees her and see Jerry's Beth. So good. You know, we got to try, like, there's a
few
opportunities.
Your codependent relationship.
Codependent relationship.
This is so hilarious. One of my favorite episodes.
That's one of my favorite. I love
doing
that.
It's
so fun.
They're codependent!
She sees Jerry as like a little tiny
worm. Like a tiny little worm. Yeah, that's very funny.
Can you just touch on your process, like when you were on Scrubs, or like when you would get a script, and how does it compare to now when you're just a voice?
It's so different. I mean, when you take out that element of worrying about what anything else in your body is doing and the blocking or anything, and it's just your voice, it's so liberating in a way because, you know, if you want to try something different, on Scrubs, you ask for another take, you're asking 100 people to do that take with you because there's a whole crew who will be doing that for the next 5 minutes with you, whereas when you're doing a voice, like you can try it 10 different ways in a minute and just, there's something very freeing I found about that.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about what your face does.
Yeah.
Like your body, when you're working on camera, there's a lot more, it's just more control over your body and your movements and your weird idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
But when you get to work on without the camera and you just get to use your voice, you can, like I'm doing right now, you can like move around. Apart from making too much body noise, you kind of have to like keep your feet planted.
Yes, I learned quickly not to wear the hoodie with the
don't do any zippy things because that like ruins your take. But if you can just do it, it's the best.
It is. I mean, I'm sure if you had like a video camera videoing some of the voices. Like, you're, I mean, it would be really embarrassing.
You see us making the craziest faces. Yeah.
Well, because, and if you're, you know, if you're trying to get out of breath because you're sprinting, if you're screaming or whatever, you're trying to visualize the aliens that are coming at you, I'm sure it sometimes looks...
You jump up and down, and you do, like, running in place, and, like, all that stuff. So fun. I know, it would be really fun if we could all, like, I'll try to let us record an episode together once.
Can
we do that one time? We record all separately, and it would be so fun if we could just be all in the same room at the same time. Yeah.
Okay, well, season four.
We're going to push for that, guys. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Fingers crossed. Give us a seat. It might be terrible, but, like, we try. Thank you. Oh, wait, another one? All right, hi. That's okay.
Get on it, everybody.
This is the job now, guys.
Thank you guys so much for coming all this way. And
I was like, I'm just one mean person.
Keep going in the world here, guys.
God. Oh, I know. I meet people all the time.
Yeah. What grade is he?
Junior.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so they're all seniors.
So I'm Canadian, so that's grade 9.
You're like, I teach AP, so they're...
Oh, grade 11. Oh,
grade 11.
She's Canadian. Yeah, Canadian. We don't have those things.
Okay, I was like, she's Canadian. I'll explain why she doesn't know.
That's our demo. Grade 11.
Yeah. I mean, everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. People tell me I look like Summer now.
It's fine. Thank you so much, you guys.
Oh, hello, Miss Strawberry Sniggles. Oh, I hope nobody ever gets my hands on me and tries to steal my Strawberry Sniggles. I'm going to eat every last one of them, because, and then they'll be in my stomach and nobody will ever be able to eat them except for me, because they're going to be all inside my stomach. My name is Mr. Top Hat Jones, and God forbid anyone ever take my snickish little pimple snibbles. I'm keeping them all for me. Last bite.
So good.
Oh, now they're all resting comfortably in my stomach. Oh, am I feeling good? No, get away from me.
Okay, all right.
All right, but that was the best commercial we've ever played. That was Strawberry Smiggles?
Yes, that's right out of one of the interdimensional cable episodes of Rick and Morty. Real fans will know it. And here, please, I would love to delve into kind of let's do what we set out to do and at least attempt to describe the show.
Yeah. Okay. It's basically Doc
Brown.
So many
Brown, layers
it's,
here.
It's a Doc Brown kind of character, mad scientist, fatherly figure.
Yeah. Well, not...
Yeah.
It's not real fatherly. Even Doc Brown in Back to the Future wasn't that fatherly. It's kind of... But there is between Rick, who is the
kid.
No, Rick
is a grandpa.
Rick is the grandfather. He's the older...
The scientist.
Scientist. Mm-hmm. Smartest man in the universe, in several alternate universes,
correct,
in fact, it turns out.
Yeah.
And then Morty is his teenage son.
Kind of a nitwit.
He is just taking along. The show actually does, I don't want to put out a bunch of spoilers, but the show does explain why he kind of needs Morty.
Uh-huh.
And in, like, the whole tapestry of the Rick and Morty verse, it makes a lot of sense, but it's also kind of like a throwaway gag.
That he's
it just kind of services this one story that they're doing. They explain why he has to have a Morty, and then they don't necessarily go back to it because I think the bond is supposed to be so great, and that's why the show is called Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. Even though there's a full cast of characters that are...
Yeah,
that
there
are
is, and
important.
They live within a family, which is one kind of difference from Back to the Future, which is really creepy because we have no idea why Marty
hangs
in
around.
Back to the Future was hanging out with Doc Brown.
Doc Brown. Yep.
That just... it's one of those things you shouldn't overthink. You'll just ruin an otherwise great
movie
for yourself.
And that's, you know, if you overthink Back to the Future... You know, when they start hopping back and forth in time and they start changing timelines, and I mean,
there can be some inconsistencies.
There's a lot of tripwires there, right?
Yeah.
But
they actually navigate around pretty well. And if we just look at the original Back to the Future, they handle that kind of you know, the whole temporal paradox thing.
Yeah.
All the science behind it feels right enough.
Yeah.
Even if they were talking in gigawatts.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because at Comic-Con this year, and it actually happened, I think, after the roundtable and after the Rick and Morty panel.
Because there's a Rick and Morty panel.
Of course there is.
The show is so huge now, just barely,
and we're
slowly getting into its third season about 4 years after it premiered. It is getting to be a big thing.
I've been hearing
to the point where it's a guaranteed panel.
The Rick and Morty crew were on one of the final episodes of At Midnight. You know, the Chris Hardwick, you know, show.
Yeah.
They're going to end for some reason, even though it's one of the only shows that I really like. Can't wait for the next day for it to drop on the Comedy Central app, and I watch it. I really like that show. I'm sorry to see it go. But they had the panel, and Chris was constantly saying how this was the best show. This is the best cartoon. The best show ever done. I mean, these...
superlatives being thrown around by people.
I believe on...
Chris Hardwick might be considered a source, an expert,
a nerdist
in this sort of thing, that
pop culture,
in this murky, wonderful area that we try to cover as well. Yeah. So that comes with a certain added weight.
But even like the gruff older school of comedy, Marc Maron had some guests on recently. I have heard him in a couple of his interviews where Rick and Morty has come up, and it's nothing but praise for this show, right? So, yes, of course they're going to have a panel at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But what you don't...
It's at that level. It's a guaranteed thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then what else do
they have? Right. What you don't expect is that actually on that Saturday, I believe, I did not get a chance to attend it, but they actually have it was something to the effect of the science behind Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And they had some, like, physicists
because
and shit.
That's a real enough thing where you could bring physicists in. Even though it is a comedy, it has been called by at least one critic whose name escapes me. And their publication
source. Buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah. So as weak as it is, but someone did call it the best science fiction show, or the smartest science fiction show on TV right now.
And from what I've been able...
There is a general dearth of good sci-fi right now.
It's getting better.
This is the smartest because of how they play with believable enough science, and then they make it digestible in that Neil deGrasse Tyson kind of
that
way.
I was about to say something similar in that the whole, you know, if we're going to explain this show, is that they basically tag on to a nugget of highly believable or highly plausible science, very complex, you know, very high-level science.
Which, and I'm assuming that this panel would
exactly
help you either discern the difference between the real science in the show and not.
Right.
Or perhaps they even said, no, it's all real science. We're all consultants or something on the show.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, that's my understanding.
I, as a viewer, I just love to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it engages that higher mental level.
Mm-hmm. But what, you know, again, in the with the goal of trying to explain the show, they are, you know, every single episode, they take this concept, and that's very complicated, and then they just run with it, right? It kind of flies off the handle, and it really tests the boundaries of that scientific theory, right? It really puts the pressure on it to hold.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course—
In the framework of its own show, which has its own hilarious character dynamics where each character has to be true to themselves.
Right.
And then they say, all right, well, here's an episode that's basically half parody of Planet of the Apes, parody of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to run it through that and make it so enjoyable means they are doing it with a level of simplicity that is then shaded with these incredibly complex ideas.
Yeah.
It's very difficult
to
do right.
And, you know,
I think Douglas Adams is a pretty apt, if for the super nerds out there like myself, like the Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Dirk Gently's, back then he really explored that, how to make it accessible and hilarious.
Yeah. And fun.
And fun.
Yeah, yeah. Fun and funny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they obviously have, because it's on the Adult Swim channel and no kids are supposed to be in the pool,
yep.
You know, like they can really press the boundaries. They press, they're constantly pressing the limits of what you can show on TV,
mm-hmm.
what you can get away with. Yep. And just those things as a concept, they're kind of willing to go into the head a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, and I would even go so far as to argue one of the things that kind of quietly works behind the scenes in Rick and Morty is the fact that Rick, the smartest person in the world, in the multiverse, et cetera, is basically amoral. So yeah. it's a framework to talk about, because there's a lot of morality questions when you talk about science, the future, science fiction, et cetera, where is it going to be a Star Trek world where everyone is accepted and inclusive and there's no money and it's some kind of perfect capitalist communist society, or is it going to be Terminator?
Yeah. Well, and then after you figure that out, you're going to spend the next 20 minutes trying to figure that out.
Mm.
And then they get to just wipe it all away.
Yep.
It's a new episode next week. It's a new dimension. You know, that's kind of how they're treating it, right? That's my understanding of it.
Well,
so far.
It's an easy way to do it. I mean, and as animated shows, especially in primetime, been doing, The Simpsons has hundreds of jokes about how they just get to start every week
yeah.
fresh and nobody ages or change.
Yes.
Family Guy has plenty of jokes about that. But Rick and Morty found, like, scientific ways to make that work. And I don't care. Here's a spoiler alert, but I'm still going to say it. I mean, they, after, like, the fifth episode of the very first season, they screwed up their world so bad that at the end of the show, they had to jump to an alternate, you know, parallel universe
yeah.
where things are almost exactly the same. And except that the Rick and Morty in that universe accidentally died.
Yeah. So
and everything was fixed. So
yeah.
they just left, abandoned this world
that they
screwed up,
yeah.
for a new one.
Yeah. And then.
So anytime they have to, I think there's even a little gag when they drop that premise in that episode where he's like, but, you know, you can't do it much. I think we got 4 or 5
yeah.
total coming to us.
So. Writers,
so they've
no,
already
they got
become
like 3 or 4,
so
yeah.
entertainment meta where they're like, all right, I promise we'll only do this a few times.
Yeah. And
but that's something that it just adds to the mythology of the show is that it exists in an alternate universe, or it exists in our universe and it started in an alternate universe, or it has been in 2 different alternate universes and it's not in ours. And it seems stupid. But if you watch a few episodes and get into that mind frame, the honest to God truth is I took enough freshman level philosophy classes. That is the one basic question you start with in philosophy. Is any of this real?
Uh-huh.
And
well, does
I don't
it,
know. It's not afraid to play around with that. And that, I think, is part of its secret formula.
Does it count ultimately? Like, you know, if you could just go to another dimension and replace dead versions of yourself at exactly the same moment that you left. Does it devalue your experiences going forward?
Yeah.
Because this is not really where you are or where you were.
If you had Rick and Morty rules in Game of Thrones, you could have just kept restructuring.
Yeah, the whole time.
Till
yeah.
it's a season and a half long.
Ned
Stark
it's like Groundhog Day.
Got everything under control.
It's like the whole Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Yep.
Right? Like you get to go back. Fix it, move it a little bit to the right, to the left, or whatever. And at the end of the day, you know how to play the piano, and you finally get the girl. Like, you know, does it count?
Yeah.
Does it count? That's not really you at that point. Or
and
is
the
it?
Fact that we're even mentioning it, the fact that it matters one iota that you even thought watching this show, oh, wait, does that mean it's not in the dimension I'm in?
Yeah.
Means the show's already tricked you. It's a stupid cartoon.
I know.
There is no reason for you to think about it because any show, especially a cartoon, you go into, you automatically say, well, this isn't my world.
Yeah.
So the fact that it once made you question, oh, I wonder if this is not my world, that means the show is just,
the show
it is
you.
Blown past
yeah.
every logical
yep.
barrier, and it still has you hooked. It's like I said, it is different and hard to explain, but that is probably the closest I can,
you know,
bumping around in the dark, get to explaining it.
My one question that I got to ask the ladies was basically, you know, what's the difference between preparing for a live action show and a cartoon? And, you know, Sarah Chalk had a great answer for that. Well, they actually both did. We're way past that point where animation is playing second fiddle to live action stuff. You know, like all these cartoons, it's almost like there needs to be a better word for it than a cartoon. Mm-hmm. You know, because like it kind of makes it look like it's kid stuff, like a Saturday morning cereal stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, Mike Tyson's doing a cartoon. Everybody
but it's not even like super believable animation. But for the record,
yeah.
The animation in the Mike Tyson show
is very good.
It looks much more realistic than the animation in Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And Rick and Morty blowing up the world. Here,
I know.
Here,
it's the right.
This is, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but this is how you know a show is actually a bona fide hit with people who have some kind of purchase, some kind of urgency in how they decide to view television. Your most dedicated demographic, basically. I have a friend, let's say, who has one of those hacked Amazon Fire Sticks.
Uh-huh.
And when if you go into the animation subcategory and you just open that up, Rick and Morty is the number one. It is always the very first option before The Simpsons, before Family Guy, before Bob's Burgers, before any anime.
Yep.
And the way that is calculated, I think, I don't know for sure, but it seems to me it probably is the more it is actually searched for and viewed, it moves up the list, which means people who go out of their way to find exactly what they want. They don't just wait for Netflix to make a recommendation. Yep. These are people who are willing to go above the law, as Michael Knight might fight them and make their decision. Rick and Morty is number one, undisputed. And this was even before the premiere. I think I noticed this a few months ago, well over a year after the last new episode aired.
I've felt this kind of build up to it, you know, and I did come to it a little late, relatively speaking, but I got to it on my own. I came across it, like I said, in those lonely hotel rooms, you know, and there is just this immediate attraction to it. And the fact that there's these famous, you know, Sarah Chalk, again, has been in two, you know, Emmy-nominated or Emmy-winning popular TV shows already. She's a fine actress, you know. She can do anything she wanted. And she's in this show, and it's not at all ridiculous. It's not at all a negative on her career. She's crushing it. She's smart to take it, obviously.
Yep.
And there's all, you know.
And they got Chris Parnell,
Saturday Night Live fame.
Archer fame.
Archer fame. Yeah.
If you're in animation, you know fucking Chris Parnell.
Absolutely. And every big movie star wants to be, you know, Eddie Murphy's got the stupid donkey in Shrek. You know, Steve Carell's got the despicable dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, everybody wants a cartoon voice. Everybody wants this.
Lots of money, easy work.
Fine. You know, whatever. But, you know, if I can be a little protective of it, you know, sometimes we want real artists here. We don't want somebody just trying to be the next doll, you know, or toy or action figure. Sorry, collectors. So this is something that we take very seriously. We're glad that it's out there, and it's just completely dominating the kind of critical, you know, state of mind. You know, like everybody's onto this.
It feels very at home on Cartoon Network with the Adult Swim block. And they've done, like I said earlier, we ended up doing a more Mr. Pickles focus show a few years ago when Rick and Morty was coming out. I think we had seen a couple episodes where, like, this is weird. This shares a lot of themes, and it was extreme. But it just something was missing, apparently, that I don't feel like it was missing. I thought that was a good show. I wanted to keep watching it. It did not engage the general public, though.
Right.
Rick and Morty has done that and more.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to figure out what the secret sauce is.
It's a hit, man. It's a hit.
But we've just done our damn best to break it down for you. And if we can't do that, surely the creators and one of the producers and writers
and voices
can't do it.
And the voices.
But let's give them a shot at it anyway. Again, let's return to the
Comic-Con 2017.
To the warm, colorful, festive Comic-Con halls and San Diego Community Center.
No.
Out in Lemon Grove.
I think what you meant was the convention
outside
center.
On the converted basketball
we
court.
Actually,
after the kids.
This was actually at the Bayfront Hilton.
Oh,
it was
are they holding it downtown now?
No, the Bayfront. So yes, Comic-Con is like we've covered many times. It's grown like crazy. So a lot of the press rooms and stuff are at the Hilton Bayfront. So that's where I was. It involves a very long walk along a very hot day. You usually get there and you're sweaty, you know. And I can tell you this right now. I don't remember if it was Ryan or Justin, but one of them had a flask. It was in their pockets when they sat down. They kind of sat on their flask and they took it out and they put it just right in front of their microphone or right in front of whatever. And
it's rock star weekend.
I know. And I'm like, it's not just me,
guys.
You know, like
yeah.
These guys are, you know, these guys are tired. They're traveling. Yeah. As we heard from Spencer Grammer earlier, you know,
he took the bag out of a box of wine, strapped it to his inner thigh with a hose.
Yeah.
Didn't have to worry about no flask like these rookies, but
yeah, no, I had just I had my regular 2 liter of Coke, I think, filled with rum. I think that's what it was. But yeah, so this is just I'm just trying to set the scene for you guys. All right, it takes a long walk along a hot day. Stepping over everybody waiting for Hall H.
Oh, poor souls.
I bought an ice cream sandwich on the way. I remember this because a bunch of those like Mexican guys are paletas, they're like selling them, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I bought an ice cream sandwich. It was fantastic. It was awesome. By the way, today is National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. So congratulations
today.
On that. So happy today on Thursday that we're recording this.
Ah.
So, yes.
Happy
Ice cream sandwich day to you.
Man, there have been a lot of these food days lately.
They do that.
It is burning me up.
I know. It's all a marketing scam. But, yeah, please, Dan Harmon, Justin Roiland, Ryan Adams? No, Ryan, what's his name?
Brian Adams.
Brian
Adams,
no.
Summer of 69.
We'll play this stupid interview.
You heard a magic interview machine.
Wake up. I'm going to need like a coffee or something.
I think that can be arranged.
Maybe not a coffee.
Is this your first day here?
My first full day, yes. Good Lord, I got a lot of texts. Holy fuck. Shit.
Let's see how many I got.
All right.
None.
I have 53 unread.
Oh, no.
A litany of people.
See. I want to see.
Get out of here.
I want to see.
No, you know what? In fact, no.
Why?
Because you wouldn't show me yours.
I'd gladly show you my text.
Yeah, right.
They're pathetic.
My.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I haven't seen that. Right. Howard did that, right?
Yeah. Well,
I heard it was good.
I learned more from the show.
Well, probably the goal of that show was to prove Einstein was an asshole or something, right? Because Einstein already taught you.
But I mean, they were trying to show why he
was Einstein. Right.
Whereas I learned a lot from the show, and
you
know, most of them, my wife doesn't. I just introduced my 14-year-old daughter to it, so my I learned my wife doesn't respect my parenting.
Oh man.
Wow. So
Yeah, excited. Yeah. Super excited. Yeah, we're still in that interesting spot where we're about to premiere, but we're still posting. So it's like the amount of time that we have to lock episodes is gonna get shorter and shorter and shorter as we get to the last four. But yeah, it's really exciting that it's finally gonna be out in the world, and I think it's a pretty dang good season. I'm really excited about it. Yeah. We did not. I mean, that was a joke that we could have never anticipated would be a. I mean, I certainly didn't think it would be like a thing. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought it would be. I don't know. I thought there's so many other things in that episode that I would assume would have been like a thing, than more than the Szechuan sauce. Yeah, me too. I had heard that they had a limited batch of it at the Winter Olympics in Canada back in 2000. I don't know when this was, 2008 maybe. You could look it up. Whenever the Winter Olympics in Canada was, and I called every McDonald's in LA. They didn't know what I was talking about. I went online to see if I could, if maybe people were posting it on eBay. No. I might have even gone so far as to try to connect with people in Canada to see if they could get me some and mail it to me, and that failed. I didn't have the reach that I do now. I didn't know anyone. I was a hermit, and I still am, kind of agoraphobic, social anxiety, the whole bag. But
what do you got?
But that was one example of me thinking about that sauce, doing whatever I could to try to taste it again. And then these guys have been hearing me talk about it for years. That kind of stuff finds its way into the show sometimes, where it's like, okay, this is a real thing. And it's almost like part, kind of making fun of me, sort of, right? Like, a little bit of that, like, no. Yeah, no, they're sending me a jug of it, and I'm going to try it. I'm gonna make sure that John is filming. I think we should get together and like actually, I would love to. I want to see your reaction.
Right.
You're disappointed, like
that would be,
this.
Yeah, no.
Maybe I'll be like, oh my God, John, run out and get me 50 more McNuggets. I don't know what's gonna happen.
I think it's adorable because Rick is such a brilliant asshole who knows everything is one step ahead and better than everybody and all that. And to see him genuinely passionate about the mundane things he's passionate about. That's what makes those moments work, right?
Yeah, we got like your typical like sort of like logical question of like, well, if Rick can create a cognition amplifier in the span of 2 seconds for a dog, then turns him sentient and or whatever, hyper intelligent, and if he can make a portal gun and blah blah blah, why couldn't he just make the Szechuan sauce that he wants to? And the answer to that is you can't fucking make that sauce.
Remember,
impossible.
There was the last season.
And also, it needs to come in a little cup, and you know, it's
yeah.
Here's a little trivia.
Play baseball.
Here's a little trivia. Remember
yeah.
this? Remember
exactly.
this? Last season, the episode that was the microverse one, where they go into the different worlds. That originally was conceived as Rick had this whole civilization he had in his lab that he developed, and you know, planets and galaxies and civilizations, and he would liquefy it down into the Szechuan sauce, because it was the only way you could make the Szechuan sauce is by having a civilization.
Is that
created.
Really true?
Yes.
We were going to do that?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Idea.
That's insane.
But the Szechuan sauce kind of got separated out from that idea, found its way into 301.
Do you remember that?
I remember that
it was going to be Szechuan sauce?
Yeah.
Not Szechuan sauce, but
yeah,
some kind of sauce,
like
some kind
chocolate
of delicious dipping
chocolate.
Sauce. Okay, okay. So, way to go, Ridley.
And I think he's misremembering, but...
All right.
Well,
hey.
Misremembering.
Memories are faulty.
I was going to ask
yeah.
you, what part of the voice, Rick or Morty?
Morty only if... So, I tend to, like... I run into a problem where I can lose the sort of Morty voice. Like there's a sort of... If my voice is hoarse or if I've been out drinking, which I don't do a lot... at loud bars, which I actually avoid now. I'll ask my friends, like, hey, come out tonight. I'll be, okay, two questions. Am I going to have to scream in your ear to communicate with you? If that's a no, then I'll second question, is it far away from my house? But the Morty voice is rough. If I do a ton of Rick screaming, like, that'll eat into the Morty voice. Yeah, I mean, like, even today, it's kind of been a little rusty, I feel like. Like, oh, jeez, oh, man, the Morty voice is a little rusty today. Maybe it's all right. I don't know. I think it was this morning really bad. Maybe enough. I've been awake long enough that it's kind of. But Rick's easy. I can do Rick anytime because it's just like, gruff, whatever. My voice could be shredded and I could still do Rick.
The voice is
Oh yeah, I mean totally like Doc Brown and Marty McFly, like just a really shitty, you know. Oh yeah, yeah, the original like.
Not from a legal standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we are, and I'm probably on the floor in line for whatever Lego exclusive they've got this year, and my car is filled with other stuff I don't need.
Definitely all of my alternate selves braid through this bead, because whether it's through the costume I have to design or the show I get to run or anything, like this is the place where I get something I desperately need. I love coming here. I've been coming here since the days when I was selling comic books, and hoping that people would just buy them, and then watched over the ages Comic-Con go from being a place where fat nerds could sit on the floor and look at what they bought to the time now when Bruce Willis has published this little cattle prod for sitting on the floor, and I'm the Bruce Willis, but if I may say so myself. But throughout all of that, like I this is like my Christmas. Like I don't really care that much about Christmas. Like I like coming to the place where publicists walk me around and drive me in SUVs from hotel to hotel and have a bunch of people ask me, so what's it like to write brilliantly? And that doesn't happen at Cannes or anywhere else, because I'm a very specific, very targeted creator.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any favorite sci-fi
writers? Sliders, Farscape, all the classics, yeah. It's funny, I just started watching it. I forgot all about it, and I started watching it like about 3 months ago, and I was like, holy shit. You got to watch the pilot episode, dude, because it's lit.
I tried to watch Farscape.
No. Sliders.
Oh, Sliders.
Sliders.
Okay.
Yeah, watch the pilot episode, because it's literally...
Here's the thing I want to say to America.
Yeah.
If your pitch for me watching your favorite show is the first two seasons aren't that good, you got to give it a chance.
All right. I said you got to muscle through the first five episodes.
The first two seasons?
No, the first five episodes.
Of a regular person's TV show would be the amount of time that person would need to learn how to run a TV show.
You know what? You're lost, because Farscape is incredible. And if you just get... It's like The Wire. I tried to watch The Wire, and the same thing. I was like, I can't...
I know, you're going to skip the Stevedore season.
See, hypocrite.
Everybody knows that.
You hypocrite. No, but Sliders, watch the first one. I'm telling you, it's trippy. Like,
no,
they do,
I want to watch
the whole. They do the whole thing that we did in the first episode.
You're talking about a list where Atlanta is at the top.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Me too. Yeah, Atlanta.
Every reason to watch Atlanta.
There's so many freaking shows on my backlog.
Then I got to watch Glow. Then I got to watch Love. Then
Mr.
I haven't seen that yet. Some seasons of Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
I mean... What's an old fat piece of shit?
American Horror Story. Haven't seen that
Colony.
One yet. Colony.
Starring Josh Holloway.
The Dome.
You guys familiar? Underrated show.
Don't even know what that is, but yes.
Of Intervention. I just like.
Oh God, that show's too fucking brutal for
like
me to watch.
Yeah.
For
watch
that,
Colony.
Promo that you guys dropped. Were you guys you guys work with other artists, or was that you guys?
Oh, you mean that crazy, like, exquisite court?
When he drops that
so that's another example of Adult Swim just doing crazy awesome shit. Like, we I was told, like, hey, we need bookends, and I very hastily threw together these little bookends that I think I could have... The fucking punchline is horrible, and I hate myself for it, because I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand
no,
what
was
happening.
No, good.
I don't know. Well, whatever. I'm beating myself up. But
don't Dan Harmon it.
Okay. Well, in any case,
be joyful.
I didn't know what it was, and then it came back, and it was just like, yeah, it was all these incredible animators who all got a little chunk to just do whatever they wanted to do, and yeah, I mean, we were just blown away by it. I mean, absolutely blown away, and we truly didn't even know what it was until we saw it, and we
That's
were
really
like
intimidating sometimes.
That was awesome.
We were at a
network, and you have the luxury of blaming all your problems on, oh, they don't understand the show. They don't promote it enough. They don't pick the right time slot. And then there is, at Adult Swim with Rick and Morty, it's like a weird be careful what you wish for thing. It's like, well, how would you like a dad who was like Pippi Longstocking, who says, you get ice cream for breakfast, and also I know exactly what flavor you want. It actually, I find myself watching that stuff and go, oh, man, I get scared. I go, is our show supposed to live up to this?
It's so good.
They are so good at, like...
Yeah. The network is the fucking best. We're very lucky to be able to work with them.
Just got to figure out how to screw it up.
We're working on it.
I will figure it out.
We're working on it.
I actually have been a high school English teacher. Say my students love your show.
Oh, that's awesome.
You were a journalist.
Damn it. We got to go. Nice to meet you guys.
Good, you had a chance to identify yourself. We got to go. Was there a question?
Nice to meet you guys.
No. I just wanted to say they love your show.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I hear that a lot. Science teachers and...
Oh, yeah.
Your immediate thought is like... Oh, that's awful. But then you go, no, it's not actually.
They're learning a lot, actually.
You know, if a kid wants to take a music class because Kurt Cobain did something wrong,
they've heard way worse things from our department head. Yeah. On your show. Yeah.
Well, thank you for.
You're welcome.
Thank
I'll
you for
let them
teaching.
Know. Thank you.
Also.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
In luck to catch a leprechaun, but of course, nobody can. Catch me, and you catch me Lucky Charms. A no-hard cereal with a charming difference. Sweet surprises. See him? Mixed right in with the cereal. It's a charming cereal. Simply charming. Glory be, free shamrocks.
Catch a pack of Lucky Charms. Charming. A Big G General Mills cereal.
Wow, that must have been an old one.
1966.
Mm.
Yeah, that goes way back. But I thought we would, close the circle or come back to this. What's the term?
The
circle is now
tail.
Complete.
There could be only one.
Yes.
The parody improvised commercial earlier from Rick and Morty, the real kind of commercial from 1966. And here we jump forward to our time
and dimension.
And not to brag, but you all just heard our semi-exclusive, sort of not at all private Comic-Con interview with Dan Harmon. Yes, Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland and Ryan Ridley. And you know what? Before I let everybody go, there's just one thing I have to point out.
What?
That nobody at the round table did, although I'm quite sure you were probably thinking it.
Yeah, go ahead.
But they mentioned that originally... There's an episode where Rick and Morty have to go into his own car battery because it turns out it's its own little civilization.
I haven't seen this one.
Not ruining much here.
Okay, go ahead.
But they originally, instead of having that be in a car battery, they thought Rick would have his own little tiny microscopic galaxy in his lab that he would have to crush to make that Szechuan sauce.
Wait, what? Oh, the one
from McDonald's.
That he was talking about in the interview.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so
to waste a bunch of time and get us all caught back up again, when they mentioned that, it is hard not to think how close they came to making a completely different Rick and Morty episode and yet didn't. So in our timeline, it's about his car battery.
Okay.
In another timeline somewhere, it's about turning an entire tiny micro-galaxy into Szechuan sauce. And nobody said, are you aware you just created a rift in a new parallel universe right there?
Uh-huh.
And, you know what, Marky, you've got his number. Let's just call Dan Harmon and ask.
I will call Dan Harmon tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
In another galaxy.
In another dimension. We're already on the phone with him, firing him.
That's right. Get out of here.
But in the meantime, I guess that's about enough of that.
Yeah, I don't know what else to do.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
This is enough of this.